Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast. Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la bonne équipe. Et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Année pour les Canadiens, le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs. John, you found the dogs. He found the dogs.
And all together, they worked a young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup.
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. It's gonna be sick.
Matt O'Han, the Hebrew Hammer, here with you on the Sick Podcast on this Friday evening. Thank you very much for joining us. Let's take care of some business first. The Sick Podcast brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group. And they have recently been named by Deloitte and CIBC as one of Canada's best managed companies. The country's leading business award recognizing innovative and world-class companies fuels energy's purpose of creating progress for our customers, our employees, and our communities. Join a winning team and check out Energy's career page for available opportunities. Also brought to you by La Bita TB, brewed in Quebec and a winner of a dozen international awards, La Bita TB offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. La Bita TB, embrace your true nature. And by Murphy Clinic, they are an aesthetic clinic specializing in medical aesthetic care. We offer permanent laser hair removal as well as a wide range of treatments for skin problems such as acne, rosacea, fine lines, and more. Visit murphyclinic.ca. They have a couple shops located in Montreal. One location is Shop Angus in Montreal, and then their second location is in the North Shore in Terrebonne, and they are also opening soon in Quebec City. Visit murphyclinic.ca on Instagram at Murphy Clinic. All right, I'm really excited. You could probably tell as I've stumbled through those ad reads. The reason for that being is because we finally have news. And it's amazing. And I can't wait to break down this news and talk about it with the Montreal Gazette's Stu Cowan. Stu, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. Hot like everybody else in Montreal, but good.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm wearing the hat. Normally, I would be wearing my sweater of the Sick Podcast, but it's just 800 degrees outside, and the insulation in my house, not the best. So we're going to stick with the hat for the brand.
Well, if I was outside, I'd have a hat because this bald head burns pretty good in the sun.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's just when I run, it's, you know, it's a catch 22. It's either I block my eyes from the sun with the hat forward and then get my neck burnt, or I burn my face and protect the back of my neck. So there's just really no winning in weather like this. But hey, let's not complain about it, right? Let's remember where we were about two and a half months ago. Mm-hmm. So the news I was talking about is our own Tony Marinaro. I don't know if we have the screenshot at the ready, Sammy, but if you don't, that's okay. He came out with two reports this week. One of them was that the Canadians do not want to pay. Tony's confirming that the Canadians do not want to go above $7.8 million per season on Cole Caulfield's contract. Of course, that number is relevant because that's Nick Suzuki's cap hit. And the other number is that the Canadians are looking for a 7 or 8 year deal. This is coming from our own Tony Marinaro. Just initial thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, that's what I figured. I mean, when they hadn't come to an agreement, it was either terms and or money or both. And I understand the Canadian situation where they don't want to pay anybody more than Nick Suzuki. And Cole Caulfield, as good as a season as he had, he's a small player. He did get hurt. He's never played an 82-game season in the NHL. The most games he's ever played is 67. Suzuki had more games under his belt, more for the Canes to make a judgment on before they give him that contract. And also, you know, if you give Caulfield more than what Suzuki's getting, then the next guy that comes along, whoever maybe they get in the number five pick and has a couple of good years, he's going to want more. And with the everything's about the salary cap now and managing the salary cap. And you look at the trouble the Leafs got into with their core four making so much money, they didn't have enough left for the rest. So I can understand the Canadians' hesitation to go beyond what they're paying Nick Suzuki. And I understand Caulfield's camp because he was on pace to score, it was 46 goals. And, you know, if he signs for $7 million and then he scores 50 goals next year, he's going to be underpaid. So at some point, you have to think they'll come to a compromise on it. And I just speculating, my guess is Caulfield maybe will sign a shorter-term deal for the money the Canadians want, sort of like what P.K. Subban did when he bet on himself and signed the bridge contract, and then he cashed in with that huge $72 million contract, $9 million a year. So, again, though, in Caulfield's case, if he does do that and signs a bridge deal, what happens if he blows out his shoulder again or has another injury? It's a lot of money to leave on the table. But the way, from what Tony reported and just from what common sense sort of makes it seems, I at this point, it seems like Caulfield might sign a more shorter term deal and bank on himself. And if he does score 50 goals, he'll get more money than Nick Suzuki. There's no doubt about that.
Well, that's the thing, because, you know, I've done this exercise before, and, you know, 50 goals, it's while goal scoring is up in the NHL, and, you know, we had a lot of high scoring 100 point players and whatnot. 50 goals is an incredible feat. It's really, really hard to do. Not a lot of players have done it like currently that are playing right now. So that's a big number. And the part for me where I'm like, I'm okay with seven, even if he gets 7.8, same exact contract as Suzuki, I'm okay with that. Because, you know, 46 goals, that what he was on pace for is nothing to sneeze at. However, the other side of it is, if he wanted to go higher, I could see the concern with the Canadians because he was on pace for 46 goals, but he was also on pace for only 18 assists. So, yeah, you know, that 64 goal contributions, 64 points is it's your average, you know, average second line, borderline first line NHLer. You know, of course, the difference is goals obviously are at a premium. So that's where that's probably where the Canadians lean and why this is such a tougher negotiation than we probably thought it would be.
Yeah, and Caulfield had 23 goals in 67 games the season before. I mean, everybody blames Dominic Ducharme for that. And you know, he obviously became a different player when Marty St. Louis came along. But again, I mean, you know, the system that Marty St. Louis plays obviously works well for Caulfield. Playing with Nick Suzuki obviously works well for Caulfield. He's got to take that into account also, or his agent should be taking that into account also. And again, it's you look at the last guys who have scored 50 goals in the NHL. They're bigger guys. They're not smaller guys. And for Caulfield, I mean, to score 50, and we're talking 50 goals, he's never scored more than 26. I mean, he was on pace to score whatever, but he got hurt. Again, he got hurt. So can he stay healthy at his size through an 82-game NHL season? And that's a big question mark that the Canadians have to have.
Yeah, and you know what? The other calculation I did while the intro was playing was, because I said, 64 points, I could justify, and the Canadians could obviously justify $7.8 million because of those 46 goals. But the 64-point total, it is a number that is, it's pretty low to be making, you know, just over $1 million for every 10 points. The number that I found interesting was if you count goals for 1.5, let's just say, all of a sudden, he has an 87-point total. There you could see the argument on Caulfield's side of why he deserves more because, you know, yeah, it's points are points. 64 is 64, but you all know that we need to put the puck in the net and that the Canadians tend to have a trouble. They tend to struggle doing that.
Well, he's the first natural goal scorer the Canadians have had in years. Since Pacioretty, I guess, was the last guy who was sort of a natural goal scorer, but they're hard to find, those guys. But, you know, I wrote a column a little while ago comparing some of the guys drafted the same year as Caulfield with sort of similar numbers, and they've signed 7 years, $7 million a year. And that's, to me, I think that's a fair contract. If Caulfield wants to bank on himself and sign 2 years at $7 million, okay, maybe he'll get more money later, but that's $14 million total. That's $35 million less total than if he signs a 7 year deal. And again, if something, it's a physical game, guys get hurt. You know, knock on wood. And I wish Cole Caulfield all the best. I really like him as a hockey player. I like him as a kid. He's a fun kid to be around. His teammates love him. He's very respectful with the media. He's respectful with the fans. There's nothing not to like about Cole Caulfield. But he's got to also think $49 million, if the Canadians are offering that 7 years at $7 million, that's a lot of money. Especially at his age. I mean, he's 22 years old. He'll get another contract after that too. But it's really going to be interesting. And obviously, it's taking a lot longer than a lot of people expected. I think at this point, Kent Hughes might be waiting to see what happens at the draft, what happens maybe in free agency, see where his salary cap structure is after that, and then decide what he's going to do. But again, right now, if I was a betting guy, I would say Cole Caulfield. It looks like he's going to maybe bet on himself and sign a shorter deal, 2 or 3 year deal, and hopefully be able to cash in after that.
You know, some of those guys, one of the guys on that list that were drafted his year, similar signing, similar contracts. The one that's probably standing out to the Canadians and that they're hanging on to is Matthew Boldy. But really, because, you know, he signed this year. 7 years, $7 million a year. But the name that stuck out to me on a list of players, because, you know, I was looking at, okay, who's a pure goal scorer? Not as pure as Caulfield, because, you know, 26 goals and 10 assists, that's quite a disparity between those two numbers. But the next one I thought of was Kyle Connor. And, you know, granted, he signed in 2019, $7.14 million per year. That, again, that $7 million seems like it really is the sweet spot, even with the cap, supposedly, you know, all those COVID dollars and whatnot. And, you know, there's supposed to be a new TV deal being agreed to next summer. That'll bring in some money and bring in bring up the cap a lot. These are all things that are probably
Will it Sportsnet overpaid for that last TV deal. So, like, what's going to happen with the next one? Like, is it really going to drive up the salary cap that much? We're going to see, right? Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned Boldy, you know, 6'1", 200 pounds, looking at 81 games played last season, missed one game, scored 31 goals. Like, that's more of a, you know, there's more, you sort of know what you're getting there. Like, you know, I mentioned Nick Suzuki, the only guy in the Canes to play all 82 games each of the last two seasons. Playing, not getting hurt in the NHL is a skill. It really is. I mean, there's a lot of luck involved also. I mean, you know, Josh Anderson crashes the foot first into the goalpost and has a high ankle sprain. There's nothing you can do about that. But the smaller you are, the more likely you are to get hurt. It's just, it's physics.
Well, and you know, that's, you know, you bring up a great point about not getting hurt, because longevity is something that has to be it's a huge skill. I mean, I always make the argument, you know, like look no further than the best prime example of longevity was Martin Brodeur. This guy was playing back in his heyday, you know, 70 games a season. That's unheard of for a goalie, let alone playing every single game as a player. You know, that counts for something. And I, you know, he's only played been with the team, I should say, for two full seasons, but man, that's probably, again, why the Canadians want the 7 year deal. I don't know, if I was him, you know, two out of two full seasons with the team and you're getting hurt and pretty significant injuries. I don't know. Maybe I'm just biased because I want more money in the Canadians' pockets to have more fun elsewhere, but I don't know.
I wouldn't even say it's bias. It's just sort of common sense. I mean, because everything in the NHL now revolves around the cap, just the way Gary Bettman wanted it, making the owners richer and the players poorer. You know, players are still paying escrow on the salaries they're getting too. So everything's salary cap related. And if you mismanage the cap, we've seen teams like, you know, Toronto getting in trouble. The Canadians, you know, if Shea Weber and Carey Price were still playing for the Canadians, what a mess they'd be in right now. It's with the salary cap, with two older guys, with injury prone, with all that money on the cap. So it's you got to be careful, and durability has to come into play. I mean, it really does when you're giving out these kind of contracts. Is this guy going to be able to play? You know, only one guy in the Canadians, that Nick Suzuki, played 82 games, but is he going to be able to play 70 games every season? You know, 75, or is this injury thing going to be a continuing issue? You know, he's coming off shoulder surgery also. So there's a lot of question marks for the Canadians. And, you know, one thing I've learned since Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton took over and Marty St. Louis, they're really smart guys. Kent Hughes doesn't let emotions get in the way of things. He looks at things practically. They want to sign Cole Caulfield. The Canadians want to keep Cole Caulfield. Cole Caulfield has said he wants to stay in Montreal. Nick Suzuki wants him to stay in Montreal. But it comes down to money, and it comes down to, you know, the NHLPA gets involved, the agents get involved, and, you know, Caulfield's going to set the mark for the next goal scorer who signs a contract. He has a unique skill, and if I'm his agent, I'm saying that he has a unique skill that Nick Suzuki doesn't have. Nick Suzuki can't score goals the way Cole Caulfield can score goals. And then if you're the Canadians, you're saying, well, Cole Caulfield might not be able to score goals if you didn't have Nick Suzuki setting him up. So it's you know, those. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in these negotiations between agents and GMs. And the fact that Kent Hughes was an agent, he can look at it from both sides. So, again, I still think they'll get it done. But I'm starting to think more and more, and especially after what Tony reported, and just common sense, that it looks more and more like it'd probably be a shorter-term deal.
Yeah. I you know what? It's hard to disagree with you. And, you know, then comes in the next thing. And I know we touched upon it last week. But, you know, one of the insiders said it this week. It was Darren Treger once again. He said, you know, it's offer sheet not on the radar for Cole Caulfield. It's not.
Yeah.
And I think that'll, again, this time that he said it outright, you know, it wasn't just a report. It was right from the horse's mouth. Offer sheet is probably not on the radar. And I think that bodes well. We both didn't expect it to be. And even if it was, he said that the Canadians are signing it. You know, they're signing the offer sheet because they want him in Montreal, and they need to have him in Montreal. So, probably that plays into Caulfield's corner as well.
Well, I mean, offer sheets are so rare. I mean, I can't remember how many years it was before Kotkaniemi, the previous one. It was quite a long time. And
it was Sebastian Aho, but I think the time before that probably was Shea Weber.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, they both involved the Canadians, right?
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah, and that Weber contract, what a disaster that would have been if he was still playing for the Canadians, right? I mean, that 7.8 million salary cap hit, I think it was, on his contract.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with the other GMs have the same questions that Kent Hughes has. If a GM's thinking about making an offer sheet, you know, the guy, well, he only played, missed a lot of games last year. And, you know, he's had one really good season in the NHL. So, I don't think – I don't see any reason to believe why Cole Caulfield can't keep scoring goals. It's the way he shoots the puck and everything else. But there's a lot of question marks if you're a GM and you're trying to sign him.
And, you know, just a little food for thought, you know, in Caulfield's range of, you know, even with projections and whatnot, there's only two wingers – that are in his class, at least, you know, in many people's opinions, my opinion, that make over $7.8 million. Those two players are Jordan Kyrou and Brady Tkachuk. Those are the only two. And Brady Tkachuk's a captain of a team. So, I think it will. I mean, it's going to get settled. I mean, this isn't DEFCON 1 or where, you know, you're in a situation like the Leafs where you have to make a decision on Austin Matthews because you have a no trade clause kicking in soon. That's not happening. That's not the situation here. So lots of time to get this figured out. I just wonder when the heat is really going to start to get cranked up on this thing in terms of, you know, when it's becoming more and more of a media thing. You know, right now everyone's focuses on the finals.
Yeah. It'll be around the draft. It'll be around the draft, and then even more so July 1st if it still isn't taken care of. But, you know, I understand the agent's thinking and Caulfield's thinking, and the agent wants him to make as much money as he possibly can. And the agent makes more money. Well, Caulfield makes more money as agent makes. But, you know, Caulfield's 22 years old. I have a 22-year-old son also. As a father, if I was Cole Caulfield's dad and they were offering 7 years and $49 million, I'd say, son, sign the contract. I mean, if you get $8 million a year, my math's right, it's $56 million. I don't know if making $49 million or $56 million really changes your life that much. I think you have a little, pretty little charmed life one way or the other. And that's a lot of money for a 22-year-old kid to leave on the table, if indeed that's what the Canadians are offering at 7 years, $7 million. If he was my son, I'd be saying, sign the contract. If I was his agent, you might look at it a little bit differently.
Yeah. Well, that's it, right? Because an agent will look at it as like, cause we're both on the same wavelength here of, you know, once you're talking that much money, it's like, does it even mean anything? Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I can't picture that much money in my bank account.
But when
I find when we throw out these numbers of like, for example, when it was the Phil Deneau situation of like, it was, what was the difference? You know, it was reported that Bergevin wanted to give him $5 million and he ended up getting what, I think 5.6 or whatever.
It was like $500,000 difference, if I remember right.
But that's the thing though. It's $500,000 over 6 years. That's $3 million more dollars in your pocket if you're Phil Deneau. So I could see why he kind of held out for his own.
Well, Deneau was also upset that when he turned down that first offer, it got leaked to the media. And that didn't go well. I mean, now, you know, let's talk about Mark Bergevin taking things personally. I think that was another case of him taking it personally when Deneau didn't take it. And next thing, you know, it gets leaked to the media. But, when you get to that much money, it's $49 million. Basically, you're going to basically be able to buy whatever you want to buy for the rest of your life. you're not worried about mortgage payments or car payments, or what's the Visa bill this month?
I haven't even looked at my Visa bill. I just press the button on the app and pay for it. Who cares? So let's, speaking of making things personal, I mean, it happened this week. We're going to move off the Canadians. Which is the Toronto Maple Leafs hired Brad Treliving. They announced him as GM. And this is the best. In his press conference, I think it was like 15 minutes before his press conference, or maybe 15 minutes into his press conference, the Pittsburgh Penguins announced that Kyle Dubas has been named the president of hockey operations in Pittsburgh. So just amazing stuff. I love it when things get personal and it doesn't involve the Canadians. So that's always fun.
I'm going to backtrack just a bit. Because I remember I did an interview with Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, the NFL player, the McGill doctor and whatnot, and talking about money. And I interviewed him and I asked him, he had just signed, I was just trying to find the story here. He signed a 5-year, $42.36 million contract. This is a few years ago. And I asked him about like what making that much money is like. And his quote was, at some point, money is money. Past a certain level of wealth, I think it's just a number. I do football because I enjoy it. And I'm going to do medicine because I enjoy it. And I know I'm really, really privileged to do what I do for a living and be able to live really, really well. So it's sort of like, that's it. Like it's at some point, it's just a number, right? And I think it's been a number there. But that's the question you're talking there with the Leaf saga. It's just, it keeps getting better. I mean, or worse if you're a Leaf fan. It's so entertaining. I mean, you know, they announced that Treliving's going to be the GM, and then 20 minutes before his news conference, the Penguins announced that Dubas is their director of hockey operations or whatever the title was they gave him. It's so good.
That's the thing. You know, the Toronto media, you know, it's great. It's a great thing. And, you know, Tony had on Sid Sixero yesterday on his show, and it was a fantastic episode. I urge you all to check it out. They really dive deep into the Leafs and the future of that team. And you know, he called Kyle Dubas a fraud on Twitter. I don't know. I don't see it the same way. Do you agree with him or do you disagree?
When Dubas, I watched part of his press conference yesterday, and he said that maybe he was a little too open and honest at his news conference with the Leafs, and that definitely played a role into it. I mean, when he said he was his family, and he was 37 years old, I believe he's got a young family. That's a job that You're not home a lot. You're working 24/7. Basically, your cell phone's always ringing. I think he has three kids. I'm not certain, but young kids. So that's tough on the family. That's tough on the wife. It's tough on the kids. And when he had that news conference, he was honest and open about it. And Shanahan had put up a red flag for Shanahan going, wow, do I really want this guy moving forward? I think there were other issues with Shanahan and Dubas either. And one of them, I think, was a power struggle. But that's got to be a concern, I would think, for the Penguins moving forward also. Because that's, you know, GM of hockey is a burnout job. It's amazing that Marc Bergevin lasted 10 years. You know, I've been critical of Marc Bergevin's moves. I praise some of the good moves he did. But 10 years as GM of the Canadiens, man, the stress and the pressure and everywhere you go for dinner, people are asking questions. You can't get away from it. Dubas was able to get away from a little bit more in Pittsburgh. Things change quickly. At the time, he said it was going to be Toronto or nowhere. At that point, he was hoping Toronto, maybe expecting Toronto was going to hire him. But again, he might have already known in the back of his mind that the Penguins job was there. You know, people in the hockey world talk, and the Penguins have maybe told him, you know, we're interested if you leave. They talk about tampering, but I mean, if nobody tells, it's not tampering, or nobody knows it's tampering. So I wouldn't say it was a fraud. I think in hindsight, he shouldn't have done that news conference in Toronto, and Brendan Shanahan asked him not to do it. But who knows what's going on in his mind. Maybe he wanted out. Maybe he just wanted out of Toronto and just trying to figure out a way to do it, and this was the way he ended up doing it. But it's going to be interesting to see. I think he's 2 years older than Sidney Crosby, if I'm not mistaken. And for all the praise that a lot of people have given him, he built a team that won one playoff round. Now, a great regular season team. Won one playoff round. I know he's very heavy into analytics. I think we talked about this last time I was on. The analytics seem to work well in the regular season, not so well in the playoffs. So we'll see if he does the same thing in Pittsburgh, if he has the same strategy or if he's changed a bit. And it'll be interesting also with Trelleving, how he maybe changes how the Leafs roster looks, and maybe they become more of a playoff team as opposed to a regular season team. But as you said, Toronto, man, as the Leafs turn, it's a soap opera that's been going on since 1967.
And it's great. You know, it's great because I think this one feels a little better, especially for people in Montreal and in Boston, if they're following along, because it's just the media is just, it happens every year for the past, you know, 3 years since Austin Matthews, you know, he got past his, we'll call it the rookie phase. And it's just they crown them Stanley Cup champs every year in the offseason. They are the Stanley Cup champs, and this is the year, and we hear the same song and dance every single time. And then now it's really gone up in flames.
Well, Austin Matthews is an amazing goal scorer in the regular season. We're talking about Cole Caulfield as a goal scorer. Austin Matthews is a huge guy, can score goals, has better shot than Caulfield. But in the playoffs, he's just not a playoff guy. You know, and you know, I think it was Tkachuk, that one game where Tkachuk was sort of punching him in the face and he had no response. It's just, you know, when the going gets tough, he doesn't get going. And the core four guys on the Leafs, they're just not physical type guys who are good at playoff hockey. And I don't know if the Leafs are going to win in the playoffs with Austin Matthews. And to me, if I'm Trelleving, I'm looking to move him because you would get a ton for Austin Matthews in a trade. And you might be able to get some guys who are more playoff performers, like, you know, like Florida did when they traded Huberto for Tkachuk. I mean, Tkachuk is like one of the ultimate playoff performers. He reminds me in many ways of Mark Messier, just how big he is, how physical he is. He can score. He can punch you in the mouth. He's a leader. His teammates seem to love him. A real, real playoff type performer. And the Leafs need to, I think, find more guys like that. Younger guys like that. They got O'Reilly this year, an older guy who plays like that, but they need to start finding some younger guys who have a little bit more of the jam, as a lot of people use the expression. A lot of guys that are built more to play playoff hockey.
You know, the interesting thing about them bringing in Brad Treliving is that, first of all, it's just a complete opposite to what Kyle Dubas was to this team. So that's the first interesting thing. But the second interesting thing is, you know, this is a guy who he's made some great moves in Calgary. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, he hasn't won more than a handful of playoff series in his 9 years in Calgary. And, you know, the probably the biggest glaring thing right now is that he signed one Jonathan Huberdeau, and I understand he's a great player, and he still is. I don't believe that he is the player that he was last season. I think there were some things going on for sure, especially with Sutter at the helm as head coach. Mm-hmm. But he signed a 30-year-old guy to an 8-year, $10.5 million deal. That's Jonathan Huberdeau. Yeah. You know, like that's a big price tag for someone that's, you know, not getting any younger.
The thing is, Tkachuk painted him into such a tight corner when he said he was leaving. They had already lost Huberto to Columbus, and Treliving had to, like, he was really in a jam. And,
yeah,
you know, you have to overpay players to play in any Canadian market. You really have to overpay them to play in Calgary or Winnipeg or Edmonton. Jonathan Huberto was like ripped out from under him. He had a beautiful place in Florida. Sit by the pool in February, wear shorts and sandals going to practice. I'm sure his wife loved it. His family loved visiting him there. Life was perfect, right? And then you end up in Calgary. And I love Calgary. I think Calgary's a great city. But if I was a hockey player, I'd much rather live in Florida. And I'm sure my wife would really much rather live in Florida. And my kids, with the weather or any of the warm weather sort of climate. So the only, you know, we got that trade. And the only way Huberto, you had to really overpay in money and length to get him to stay. It really didn't look good this season with Huberto. We'll see if he can bounce back play better with Sutter. But I mean, that was a big adjustment for his life going from Florida to Calgary. He didn't want to leave. He was very well set up. But Treliving made, at the time, I thought he got the better of the deal.
I think everyone did.
If you watch Mackenzie Weegar play for Canada at the World Championships, he was their best defensive. He was outstanding. They got a prospect in Cole Schwind, and they got a first-round pick in 2025 for Tkachuk. So, you know, I shouldn't say a gutsy move for Treliving because he had to make the deal, but it was definitely a gutsy move by Florida to give up as much as they did to get Matthew Tkachuk. But Tkachuk is what they needed, and that's why I was talking about the Leafs before. The Leafs need a Matthew Tkachuk. That's the type of player they need to get them over that hump in the playoffs. But for Treliving, he was in a tough situation in Calgary, and now he's in a tough situation in Toronto. So he has experience with it. And Brendan Shanahan had said after he got rid of Dubas that he wanted somebody with experience. And Treliving, he's also got the experience of being in a Canadian market, the pressure of being in a Canadian market, the fans, the media, everything that comes with it. I think it was a good hire by Shanahan, personally. They needed a new look to make them a playoff team and not just a regular season team. And for qualified GMs out there, having, you know, experience in a Canadian market, it'll be interesting to see how he does. But I think Shanahan made a good move in hiring him.
Yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. The interesting thing that the part that I'm interested to see is just, you know, especially in the first press conference, you know, you're getting really non-committal things when you're being asked these questions. We touched upon it earlier in the podcast, that famous phrase now that's making its way onto literally every episode of SportsCenter, which is the core four. Are they going to be intact? Do you think they're going to be intact?
I don't think so. I think they got to move one of them for salary cap reasons and for the reasons I said before. They need to get a different style of player. All their money is in the same type of player, these offensive type players who aren't really physical, who, again, when the going gets tough, they don't seem to get going. Nylander, I mean, Tavares isn't going anywhere. He's got a full no-movement contract. He's making $11 million. Nobody's going to take that. As I said earlier, I would look into dealing Matthews. You would get a lot for Austin Matthews in a trade. Like you look at what Calgary got for Matthew Tkachuk. You know, and you would get at least that, if not more, for Austin Matthews. And I think it would be also, you know, I'm not around the Toronto locker room, obviously, but it seems like maybe the type of character who takes up a lot of oxygen in a room. I might be wrong on that. This is just somebody from the outside speculating, looking in, and sometimes shaking up the locker room can make a difference. You know, you look at the Canadians thing, you know, Carey Price and Shea Weber gone. It's a totally different locker room in there. The young guys are in control now. It's more of a brotherhood type of thing, I guess, is a good way of putting it. But I think with the Leafs, I mean, how many times are you going to keep doing the same thing? And, you know, ending up with the same result, the definition of insanity, right? They need to, I think they need to move at least one of them to shake, have a different look at the team, and also shake those guys up a little bit. Maybe they just become a little bit too comfortable in there in Toronto. Oh, we lost in the playoffs. Okay, you know, life goes on.
Every year.
I'm still making, yeah, every year. It's again, you're gonna come back next year. What makes you think it's going to be different next year with those four guys? They're four great hockey players, but they're all similar type of hockey players, right? They need a little variety.
You know, to me, the Toronto thing, I don't know if it's as, you know, the world, I mean, for people in Toronto, because for people in Toronto right now, it's like the sky is falling and nobody knows what the hell to do and where this team is going. I could see the core four staying intact, and there's one reason for that, and it's you don't got to look any further than the Tampa Bay Lightning. Because just think about it forever, you know, they were a great regular season team. This all started almost 9 years ago, funny enough, for the amount of years that Brad Treliving was in Calgary. You know, I'm just looking on HockeyDB. This is all of their past 9 years or so. They got out in the first round, then they lost to Chicago in the finals. They lost in round three, so, oh, we're just right there. Then they get an injury-plagued season, and they lose out in the first round. Or they missed the playoffs. Lose in round three again. Lose in the first round, that famous sweep against Columbus when they were one of the best regular season teams ever.
Yeah,
and then they won two cups in a row. I mean, I could see a situation with that, you know, keep the roster. It just might be the people at the helm that you need the shakeup. Granted, it was always John Cooper who was the head coach.
Yeah.
So maybe you have that with Sheldon Keefe right now. And then, you know, Steve Yzerman takes the job in Detroit. And then Breezeball, help me out on his first name.
David Breezeball, Julian.
That's right. Yeah. Julian Breezeball. He takes over, and then Bob's your uncle. You win two Stanley Cups with pretty much the same, very similar roster. Yeah. Just making those moves that you know, he had the same core intact. So I don't know. I feel like Toronto, they might have something with Treliving. I'm kind of sitting on the fence because they still scare me, you know, like Habs fans, they could laugh all the way to the bank and what's going on right now. But Toronto, yeah, the fact is they still have amazing players and they're still a force to be reckoned with.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the core four stay. I would be shocked if they don't make a coaching change. No, new GM comes in.
Yeah.
He's going to want to have his own guy behind the bench, I would think. So I'd be really shocked if they don't make a coaching change. And you think they'd make it soon as possible, as they want to give their coach now a chance to get another job somewhere else if you know, he wants to stay, keep coaching. But they got to do something to shake it up. They can't just keep coming back every year. It's going to be different this year. And it was a little bit different this year. They actually won a round. But even the round they won, I mean, it's not like they easily could have lost that game, that round against Tampa. It's not like they rolled over Tampa. They easily could have lost that round. But, you know, again, you're talking about Tampa year by year by year. People, it's so hard just to get in the playoffs now in the NHL. It takes them like 100 points just to get in the playoffs. They're pretty close. And it's really hard to win. I mean, you know, everybody, Boston, you know, everybody thought they'd win the cup. It's so hard to win. And, you know, we've talked this before, you know, the Canadiens, 24 Stanley Cups. Well, 14 of those came in a 16 league, you know, and it's with two playoff rounds. It's just so hard in the end. I still think it's the hardest trophy in sports to win. And it takes luck. It takes skill. I don't recall them today. It takes size. You know, you look at this Vegas team, they have one player in the lineup who's under 6 foot, and they have five guys who are under 200 pounds. It's a big team. Their defense are massive and huge. And that's what playoff hockey is, because the NHL doesn't want referees calling a lot of penalties in the playoffs. So the big guys can mug the little guys. And that's the way the playoffs are. You know, when the Canadiens went to the final 2 years ago, it was their four Clydesdales on defense that were basically mugging everybody in the defensive zone. And you know, Carey Price stood on his head. So for Toronto, they need a playoff hockey is different hockey. You know, Joel Edmondson told me it's the NHL on steroids. It's a different league. And the Maple Leafs, as they are now, are a built for the regular season league, and they're not built for the playoff league.
You know,
You mentioned the Vegas Knights and their size. Let's jump into it. Let's jump into the Stanley Cup Final for a little bit, because you know, Toronto. This is a Montreal podcast. So for the Leaf fans that are listening, congrats! You got some Toronto time two nights in a row. Let's talk a little Stanley Cup Final before we get out of here. So starts tomorrow. I think both teams were very happy with this very elongated break. It feels like there hasn't been hockey on in a month, but it gets going tomorrow night. The Panthers in Vegas. So, just who do you give the? I'm not going to ask you straight up because that'll be at the end. But who do you give the initial edge to?
Vegas, just with their size, mm-hmm. their size and the size of their defense. The only player they have under 6 foot tall is Jonathan Marchessault, who has 17 points in 17 games. So he plays like a big guy in the playoffs. And it's interesting. I was watching Marty St. Louis. He was on another podcast the other day. And he was asked about, you know, size in the lineup. And he says, well, you need a mix, but your small guys have to play with courage. Now, Jonathan Marchessault is a guy who plays with courage. So just I think with Vegas, just their defense is so huge. They're getting good goaltending. They're big down the middle. All their centermen are over 6 foot and about 200 pounds. They're going to wear them down. You know, I mean, I'm with Pierre LeBrun. Like, there should not be hockey in June. The Stanley Cup Final should mm-hmm. be over already. This long break is good for the players, not so good for the fans, because people now are in their pools and their backyard having barbecues, or forget about, you know, yeah. hockey season should be over. But the final should be good because the players are rested. I mean, it's such a grind, the NHL playoffs. It's such a marathon. It's rare for teams to get this many days off in a row. You know, the fact that Florida swept played into that. But the hockey should be really good. But it'll be interesting to see how many people are watching on TV. I don't imagine the TV ratings are going to be great with Florida and Vegas and, you know, during a heat wave.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, it's because I can tell you one thing. At least here, when it's when the Canadians are in the playoffs, I don't care what the weather is outside. Mm-hmm. I don't care what day of the week it is. And I think this goes for most people. It's on the TV. When it's not, even, you know, I can't even think of like the biggest draw. I think right now for me, I'm more likely to watch the games because I think just because of what he's done, he's been such a draw of Matthew Tkachuk in the playoffs. It'll be a draw for me, but I'm not spending my Saturday night watching. So I was surprised that it wasn't a, that they didn't make it a matinee game because, you know, it's the weekend.
It's going to be
small markets.
Yeah, it's going to be great hockey, but I'm really interested to see what the TV ratings are going to be because you know, there's no McDavid, there's no, you know, superstar player or Sidney Crosby or guys like that. Two good teams. You know, I think Vegas has the edge, as I mentioned before. They're sort of such a big, strong. They have so much depth. They roll four lines. They roll six defense. They're huge. Goaltending is always going to be a key. If they get the goaltending, I think they're going to be really tough to beat.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree. And you know what, Jack Eichel, I mean, I feel like not enough people are talking about him. Mm-hmm. And that's mostly because he's on the West Coast. But man, is he having a fantastic, I mean, he had a great season, but he is having a fantastic playoffs. I mean, he's not quite Matthew Tkachuk where he's the straw that stirs the drink, but mm-hmm. he is lighting it up over there. And it's honestly, I like to see it. I really do. When a guy is disgruntled and he goes somewhere else and then he just finds success. I like that story with anyone.
Yeah, and he had that neck surgery that it was controversial surgery he had, and he's back and he's healthy now. Number two overall pick in the draft. He's obviously got the talent, and he was leading the team in scoring. He's got 18 points in 17 games. Fun player to watch, but not super well known, you know, around mm-hmm. the league or for the average hockey fan or less than average hockey fan. And you know, out in Vegas too, it's one of those West Coast teams. I remember when I was a kid, and we didn't have hockey on TV like we do now. And you know, we always heard about Marcel Dion out in L.A., but you never saw him, you know. You heard about him, but you never saw him. You know, the Kings might come to Montreal once a year, and you see him on TV. So, it's, you know, there's a lot more games available on TV now and more so. But, I mean, Vegas games start at 10 o'clock at night. Not a lot of people are staying up in Montreal to watch those. But yeah, again, I think it's gonna be great hockey. I think there's some, you know, Tkachuk's gonna be fun to watch. The goaltending's gonna be fun to watch. Eichel's gonna be fun to watch. Marchessault, as I mentioned, he's a tough little player. Fun to watch, local, you know, Quebecer. But again, you know, when it's Thursday night or like Saturday night this week, and if it's 26 degrees Celsius outside and it's beautiful and the barbecue's going and you're on your second or third beer and maybe you got a pool and you're all, you want to go inside and watch the hockey game now? I don't know. I'll tape it or I'll watch the highlights.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe we'll be lucky enough to catch invites from the Cavaleros because they have the outdoor setup, which is they got a good setup back there. I've seen that. I've seen what that office looks like, and I'm sure it could very easily turn into a hockey viewing experience on the outdoors.
A buddy of mine had that when the Canadians were in the Stanley Cup final a couple of years ago during COVID. He had the big screen in his backyard by his pool. And I was working, obviously, when my wife and the kids went over, and they had a riot watching it outside.
Oh, well, you know,
it's cool. Watch the game.
It's funny because we had a similar setup. Me and a couple friends, we would always go to his house because this is like prime time COVID. You can't go into someone else's house. Yeah. So what we would do is we would set up a makeshift screen on the outdoors, take the projector, and then connect it to the bell box. And then bang, it's on the TV. The only problem is, again, hockey in June or hockey in July, whenever it was, you got to wait till the sun goes down. We had to wait till the third period till you could see anything. But it was not a bad way to watch a game, though.
Pierre LeBrun mentions it every year, and I'm 100% with Pierre. I mean, the Stanley Cup final should be over by May 31st at the latest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? This is one of the reasons why the NFL just does things so well is because they have the dates before the season starts of when this game will take place. And I understand that it's a one game playoff. So, you know, playoff series game, whatever you want to call it. So it's easier to manage, but they'll tell you when the draft is because they know when the Super Bowl is over. Okay, we have free agency coming up, and then it's draft season coming up, and then we have this, and it's all laid out so there's constant news cycle, and they're constantly at the top of every talking point or of every sports show. Whereas in the NHL, there's just so many lulls and so much dead period and dead zones of what's going on.
I also wish they would make free agency before or after July 1st. More from a personal standpoint, because I'd rather not work on Canada Day every year and be able to enjoy celebrate with everybody else.
How many years has it been since you've had a true long Canada Day long weekend?
Yeah, it was a COVID. Was it last year? I guess it was.
Right.
It was 1 year, but it was later because of COVID. They didn't do it on July.
Right.
July 1st. This was the year the Canadians went to the Cup final. But every July 1st, get invited to all these Canada Day parties, and it's like, I got to work, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's tough like that. Anyway, so let's do it before we sign off. Let's go. Stanley Cup final predictions.
I say Vegas I'll say six games. It's hard, really hard to sweep, and it's hard. But I'll say Vegas in six. I just think they're going to wear down Florida. I think Florida's only chance is if Bobrovsky like really stands on his head, and that's possible. I mean, the way he's been playing, that's possible. I just think Vegas is too deep, too big. Roll four lines, roll six defense. Their goal thing's a little bit more questionable. They've used five goalies this year or something.
Yeah.
But I just think they're too big and strong. I think Florida's only chance is Bobrovsky standing on his head. He can steal at least one game, or they might not even steal and win one game because of him, maybe two. But I just think I'd say Vegas in six.
Well, see, that's the thing is that like all the argument you made is why I think that Florida is going to win more so also because I really want them to win. I just think that, you know, Florida, if there was a team in the East, there's two teams in the East that would match up really well against the style of play that Vegas does. And those two teams are the Boston Bruins and Florida, because Florida has a veteran coach in Paul Maurice.
Yeah.
And you saw the way that they played. It was kind of like Michel Therrien style, Canadian style hockey whenever they get a lead, and they're just going to lock things up. They're not going to give you anything, and they don't mind playing that heavy game. They got some tough customers in Florida.
So, and if they get the lead, they have that thing where they just flip it out, that high flip out of their zone and forecheck. And if they can get a lead, that's it. If they get a lead and Bobrovsky's hot, that's what I'm saying in six. But again, I just think Vegas is the better team. You know, Vegas finished first in the Western Conference this season. Florida was eighth in the East. So there's a lot of signs why Vegas should win. But again, when the playoffs started, the Boston Bruins should have been we thought Boston.
Well, that's it. And it also it just feels like I'm taking the side of it's just reminding me so much of this Canadian Stanley Cup run a couple of years ago, which was, you know, when they were facing Toronto. I'll be honest, I didn't think that they were going to do it. I didn't think that they were going to beat Toronto, and then I didn't think that they were going to beat Winnipeg, and then I didn't think that they were going to beat that they were going to beat Vegas. I actually had Vegas winning the cup that year, and I celebrated so hard when the Canadians won and were playing Vegas, because I said, "Oh, wow, Vegas is in the final now. All my players in my pool are." And now I'm starting to believe in Florida, because it was the same thing. I didn't think they were going to beat Boston. I didn't think they were going to beat Toronto, and I didn't think that they were going to beat Carolina. Now they've got my belief, and I will undoubtedly and surely be let down again. But I will say Florida in six.
It's part of what makes an NHL playoff so great, is the upsets. And you never know. There's always a big upset in the first round every year. And possibility of an upset in the Stanley Cup final also. But as I said, I'm looking forward to watching this thing. It's going to be really good hockey. I mean, the pace, especially after the break, it's going to be up and down. Be good hockey, good goaltending, be a lot of physical play. And at the end of the day, you're going to have a team winning the Stanley Cup that's never won the Stanley Cup before. So that's kind of cool.
Exactly. That's always super exciting, especially for the people that get angry when a new team like Vegas or Seattle finds some success so early on in their NHL life.
I wonder if the Golden Knights would hold their Stanley Cup parade down the strip there in Vegas. I would guess so. I don't know where they'd do it in Florida, that arena in Florida where they play.
Oh, man.
Maybe around the mall that's across the street.
Well, that's the thing, because, you know, they're based in Sunrise, but their name is Florida. But, like, you got to think they would go down to Fort Lauderdale, if not Miami, right?
Go down that beach road on Fort Lauderdale, maybe. That would be kind of cool.
I think Fort Lauderdale is the best bet, because you know, I don't think that would be cool. You know, it would be really cool if the Miami Heat, who just got blown out last night, and the Florida Panthers both won their championships and they did a joint parade. That would be cool. That would be really cool.
And some of the basketball fans might be there. Hockey, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Anyways, Stu, thank you very much for joining us on this Friday night, as you usually do, and enjoy the weekend. And hey, it'll be cooler tomorrow, so we can enjoy the great outdoors without struggling to force ourselves to be out there.
Perfect. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, that was Stu Callan. I'm Matt O'Han. Thank you all for listening to this Friday edition of the Sick Podcast. And hey, we got playoff hockey starting tomorrow night, so that's always a beautiful, beautiful – we're starting again, I should say. That's always a beautiful, beautiful thing. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next time.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature.